So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
Stability over volatility, we explore in today's episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Todd Wright. Hooters is our presenting sponsor. Support from Bill Curry Ford, Pin Chasers, Brandon Legal Group. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. If you have made the mistake of being in a fantasy football league that is determining the season champion in week 18, and you need advice, first of all, I've been telling you so forever. I know it's not your league, but you tell your commissioner to end the league now in week 16, as I started doing 2 years ago, which we talked about on the previous podcast, or you fire your commissioner and make the changes. That's what you do. But I'll try to help you if possible, but personally via email at right.todd@yahoo.com. Right.todd@yahoo.com. How you doing? Happy New Year. Recording this on January 2nd, the morning of January 2nd. All I'm doing is recapping what happened in fantasy football this year, taking what happened in the leagues I commissioned. Already talked about Captain Morgan winning his second championship in the podcast league. This one, it's kind of like, remember in the days of college football where you had a poll that was an outlier and it wasn't a unanimous national champion? That kind of happened to Morgan a couple of years ago with what happened with the cancellation of a game where he had multiple players, but I still acknowledge him as the champion of that league. He is the fully acknowledged champion of one of my leagues 2 years later. Congratulations again, Morgan. And I'm going to talk about what happened in my foundation in the 10th anniversary season of the foundation. I won this league last year, did not defend, lost in the semifinals. At one point was 7-1. And was I 7-1? No, I was 9-8-1. Lost the last four. 3 by a combined 5.01 points. Ended up not getting a first round bye, which was paramount to me to avoid so many key players I had on by week 14. The pickup and play of Zach Charbonnet got me over the top with some help also from Jackson Smith and Jigba in that Seattle game. I believe it was against the 49ers. Week 14, survived to week 15, and then out in the semifinals. The foundation, over its 10 years, we have very consistent membership. We have had 7 different champions until this year. Now we have 8. 2 have won 2 titles. The first 2 years, back-to-back titles by longtime friend, the managing partner of the original Leroy Selman's restaurant that we miss so much. Sean Wetherington beat me in back-to-back championships the first 2 years. In later years, my friend Dr. Stephen Reeder, a geosciences professor, from England via Canada. It's an interesting story. He's an interesting guy and brilliant. He's won 2 championships, not back-to-back. I won it last year for the first time, and this year our 8th champion is our draft host from the PDQ in West Chase, where he runs that store with his brother Dan. Dan sort of was his co-pilot last year as their first year in our league, not the first year hosting our draft there at PDQ West Chase, right near that Costco, right near West Chase Golf Club. Josh helped cater my golf tournament at West Chase last month. Josh did it all on his own this year, and at one point was 3-5. And just kind of hanging around the bottom. And then put together a run starting in week 12 where he never lost again. So he was 5-6 through 11 weeks, no guarantee of postseason, 10-team league. My standard scoring settings, as I say, my standard 21st century scoring settings. And Josh never lost again after week 11. He put up 101 in week 12, guaranteed himself a playoff spot, put up 83 in week 13. Then in the quarters, just enough, 72 in week 14. And then it was on from there because he put up a huge number in the semifinals. Let's see if I can get there. Where is tough to navigate this app on my phone. 150-ish, he put up a number I don't remember seeing in my league. We only start seven. We keep it simple. One QB, two RBs, two wide receivers, one wide receiver tight end flex, and one kicker. Max value of every field goal is 3. So that's how you score points. There are pick six penalties that take points away from quarterbacks, so you can't run it up with a kicker. Tougher to run it up with a quarterback. We go adjusted yardage. It's 10 points for 300 yards passing, not 250. Or I may have even, I think it's, in most leagues, right, it's 250, 300. I think I've gone 300, was considering going higher. Josh put up 113 in the final, but 155 in the semi to knock out the number one seed. He beat the number one seed, who had a first round bye in the semifinals, by 90 plus points. With Jared Goff, A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, who was hurt in that game, only got him 3.5, Mike Evans, and Brandon Aubrey. Then he put up 100-plus in the title game, and suddenly it was over in dominating fashion. And Josh is a terrific guy. If you live in Tampa and you know the PDQ in West Chase, at some point here in the coming months, you will see the trophy displayed on the front counter once we get Josh's name on it for 2024. So stop by and say hi. Trust me, he's going to want to be recognized as our champion. So congratulations to Josh in winning the championship, beating a former champion in BD Benny, who also had a first-round bye, beat me in the semifinals handily. Ben's team in the semis, Jalen Hurts, so then he lost him in the championship, but it wouldn't have mattered. Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Josh Jacobs with that late push, James Conner, Jonnu Smith, Will Lutz. Obviously a really good team at the right time, but not enough. And not good enough in week 17 with Hurts going down as well. So quick recap, one of the things I noticed for most of the year, Josh was among the lowest in our 10-team league in making transactions. Either A, because he even told me this, he's kind of new to running his own fantasy teams. He did it last year with his brother Dan. His brother Dan plays a lot. There has been interest here. But he told me this was his first time doing it on his own, and he really wanted to do it on his own. He didn't make a lot of moves. Now, we could say, well, he didn't have to, but I already talked about in the previous podcast how in the coalition, I had selected Chase Brown in the 8th or 9th round, thinking he's going to be the guy. He's going to put up numbers for this Bengals offense. And after 3 weeks of playing behind Zach Moss, I'm like, I'm wasting my time here. I got to let him go. And then, boom, he took off. And then once Zach Moss got hurt a few weeks later, no one else was even playing in the backfield for the Cincinnati Bengals. So I wasn't patient enough. I wasn't patient enough on Travis Kelce either, who the minute I cut him, Rashee Rice gets hurt, Kelce starts running his routes again, and was worthy of consideration at the wide receiver tight end flex. Some owners, like Josh, don't make those moves. I kind of feel like every week I can better my team. Someone's out there to better my team. I tend to be volatile. I play with my bench. If someone, you know, there's a money ball line. If a player isn't helping you, if a player isn't helping you win, then there is a player who can help you win. The theory is the player worthy of being on your bench? Or is there a player more worthy of rostering that could potentially help you? So Josh didn't make a lot of moves. He only made them really based on injury. Let me run through his draft. He had the 8th pick, 10-team league in the first round. So he's obviously picking 3rd on the wraparound, 2nd round, and it goes from there. He went A.J. Brown in the first round. So he passed on Ja'Marr Chase, who went with the next pick, and Derrick Henry, who went with the next pick after that, and Saquon Barkley, who went 2 picks after Derrick Henry. So he missed out on the big three. There were the big three, and he didn't get any of them. He passed on all 3 of them, Chase, Henry, Barkley, but then gets Gibbs with the second pick of with the 3rd pick in the 2nd round. And 3rd round, Mike Evans dealt with an injury, stayed patient, got production on the front end and the back end on Evans. Devontae Adams dealt with all that bullshit, never cut him. Got big time production from him late for the fantasy playoffs. DeAndre Swift didn't work out for him. That was his miss in the 5th round. But there were many people, not just Bear homers, who felt the Bears would have a productive offense from a fantasy standpoint. They did not. David Montgomery, he took in the 6th round. People were scared away from David Montgomery this year because it was year 2 for Gibbs. Montgomery was very productive, played beyond his ADP, did get hurt late. I will say, going into the championship week, because Josh got to the point where he was using Montgomery and Gibbs in the same backfield, on the same team, but it was working because he wasn't getting what he needed out of Swift. Did it most weeks. Montgomery goes down. I remember seeing him at the store. This was around the time I think we were planning to feed my golfers at the golf tournament at Todd Wright Tour XLIX. And I said, you might want to look into Jerome Ford. Chubb just went down, who he also owned, so he knew Chubb was done. And I said, Ford's going to be the guy. They don't really have a quarterback they like. And around that time, Njoku went down. I said, they're going to give Ford the ball. And Ford gave him a very solid near 20 points in the championship week. He took Dak Prescott as his quarterback in round 7. Dak got hurt midseason, so he just plugged and played, streamed Tua or Goff pretty much the rest of the way. And Tua got hot. Goff was always sort of a floor of 3 touchdowns. It worked. He took Christian Kirk in the 8th round, Adunze in the 9th round, Chubb in the 10th round, Brandon Aubrey in the 11th, Hollywood Brown in the 12th, Dobbins in round 13. He probably got some use of Dobbins before Dobbins got injured because Dobbins was putting up numbers. So Gibbs was always in his lineup. Then he had a choice of Swift, Montgomery, or Dobbins before the Dobbins injury. And then, again, picking up Ford late. He kept it pretty simple. Went on a big-time run, like I said, won his last 5. Yeah, because he was 5 and 6. Won his last 5, got in the playoffs, I believe, as the 5 seed. Either the 4 or the 5 seed, I think the 5. And wins the Jimmy McGinty Trophy as our foundation champion. So congratulations to Josh. And he went the stability route, only replacing players on his team when they were injured. Now, he didn't replace Mike Evans. He maintained that and just stayed with it. because Evans wasn't out for the year and felt when he would return, he would reconnect with Baker Mayfield, and that was the case and provided fantasy playoff points. Recapping the foundation draft, just do the first few rounds to see what we got right, what we didn't. I picked at the end of round one, start of round two, I've talked about my Barkley's remorse. Everybody in my league has Barkley's remorse, and this league is full of Eagles fans, and they all whiffed it because Saquon Barkley went 12th overall, second pick of the second round, to the guy who was the number one seed. He had Chase and Barkley and Kamara. Yeah. First round went Tyreek Hill 1, then McCaffrey, then Lamb, then the overrated Breece Hall, then Justin Jefferson, then Bijan Robinson, Amon-Ra. Our champion, Josh, took A.J. Brown 8th. Ja'Marr Chase went 9. I went Derrick Henry 10. I made the mistake of taking Jonathan Taylor to start the second round and not Saquon Barkley. Gibbs goes 3rd. We talked about that. Then Pacheco 4th. Then Garrett Wilson 5th in round 2. Kyron Williams 6th. Marvin Harrison Jr. 7th pick of round 2. ETN. 8th pick of round 2. Nacua, speaking of guys who got injured and then came back and were huge. Nacua, 9th pick of the second round. Josh Jacobs, the last pick of round 2. Josh Jacobs will not get out of round 1 next year. Jalen Hurts went 1st pick round 3 and was the first quarterback off the board. Then Drake London, then Josh Allen, 3rd pick, then Mahomes. Debo went 5th in round 3. James Cook, 6th pick of round 3. Excellent choice by Doc. Metcalf, Evans, to our champion. Olave got hurt early. And there was my Cooper Kupp pick. I invested in him in all my leagues. And just, that was a roller coaster all year for me. I took Kelce to start round 4. I cut him before I ever got anything of worth out of him, because I cut him the week before Rashee Rice got hurt. I missed. Kamara went next. Great pick by SD. Then Davante Adams. Laporta. Again, we are wide receiver, tight end, flex. So both I and Joey, who picked Laporta in the fourth round, felt, yeah, we'll get wide receiver 2+ numbers from those two tight ends. We did not. Nico Collins. Then Ken Walker, then Jalen Waddle, then DJ Moore, then Brandon Ayuk, then James Conner, who came on late in the year. A good call by Mike Clay, sort of mid to late part of the fantasy season. Round 5 went Devontae Smith, Joe Mixon. Excellent choice by two-time champion Sean, taking Mixon 2nd pick of the 5th round. Achan went 3rd pick in the 5th round to Jared, who used, ironically, Jared needed a surrogate for our draft. His surrogate ended up the winner of the other league. Yeah, Morgan. So, nice job, Morgan. Achan. I'm sure Jared will call on you again. Hell, Morgan, I might have you draft for me in the foundation next year. 3rd pick, 5th round. Then Rashad White, a lot of disappointed Buck fans who went Rashad White in fantasy leagues. Then Mark Andrews, Aaron Jones. Lamar Jackson went in the foundation, 7th pick, 5th round. Worked out for Joey. Got him into the playoffs. Then Swift, Brooks. I took Diggs to start to end the 5th round. Took Higgins to start the 6th round. Rashee Rice was an excellent pick before he got hurt. Then there's that David Montgomery pick. 3rd pick. 6th round by our league champion. Congrats to Josh. Congrats to those of you who had a successful fantasy season, whether it resulted in a fantasy championship, a trip to the championship game, you just wanted a playoff berth, you just wanted to finish higher than some other person for whatever reason in your league, or you stayed out of last place, you did better than last year, something. good came out of it. And if you had a season to regret, I'm here for you. Tell me why. Let's talk about it on email. We can talk about it now. We can talk about it in February. We can talk about it in March. Okay. You can email me whenever you want. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. I think I'm going to do one more of these, kind of as a look ahead to next year. All right. Maybe next week. Maybe next week. You know, sort of a look ahead on who are the top guys that we're already thinking about for next year based on what we know. So I think I'll do one more podcast. No promises, but I think I'll do it. But this one was about praising our foundation champion, Josh Fernandez, the store manager of PDQ West Chase in Tampa near the Costco. When you stop by to get your delicious chicken sandwiches and tenders and waffle fries, you will see the trophy in the coming months. And introduce yourself to Josh as a fantasy player and congratulate him on his foundation championship. The Todd Reich Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thanks for listening.